This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Perhaps it's not official for a horrific crash in Alabama. We're going to talk about that. American Airlines could be grounding a flight that you're on. What does it mean and why is this happening? Aren't we ready to fly the friendly skies and aren't they ready for us? Hope you had a fabulous Father's Day weekend, especially for those of you who are fathers. It's a very special thing to be a father, and I know I lost mine when I was 8, but he still had a big impact on my life. So I hope you had a chance to at least have conversations with those that you love. My name again is Kate Delaney, and if you've never been with us and you're hearing me for the first time, woohoo! Buckle up, we're going to have some fun. This hour, including we're stepping into the man cave coming up next. But before we go there, this to me is just the saddest thing to hear what happened in Alabama. A Tennessee man, his infant daughter among those that died in this wreck that killed 8 children and also killed 8 children and teens from a county girls' ranch in Alabama. You know, what was supposed to be the end of an exciting beach trip ended in a 17-car wreck or vehicle wreck. And all in all, to not confuse you, 10 people died, including those young kids. And it was 1 week after a trip to Gulf Shores, Alabama, and less than 2 hours from home, Tallapoosa County Girls Ranch. The van caught on fire and the kids were killed inside. And they're still investigating and whatnot, but the belief is that because of the weather, it was partly weather related. You had Claudette that dumped lots of rain and wreaked havoc in lots of areas with visibility and, you know, whatnot. But that's not official. The National Transportation Safety Board has sent 10 investigators to look at the crash and the photos. And, I mean, four different cars burned, including four vehicles burned, including 2 large trucks. And they're focusing on the collision warning systems and the fuel tank integrity and the survivability and, you know, what they're saying, the Butler County Sheriff Danny Bond said, you know, and this is Father's Day weekend, it was the worst traffic accident I've witnessed in my life. And that says something, doesn't it, that it's the worst that he has ever seen. And then in the middle of all of that, of course, there were, you know, the tropical storm, the aftermath in Louisiana, Mississippi, and Alabama was pretty bad. There in Brewerton, Alabama, a tornado hit and demolished some homes, damaged at least 50 homes in a very, very small town. It's that just familiar sight that you see where roofs are just crumbled into nothing and their houses are ripped to shreds. But there was definitely pools and pools of water and people getting trapped in these flash floods. And it's about waiting for it to recede and et cetera, depending on where you live, your proximity to, you know, some of these areas that really, really had the overflow. Like in Biloxi, Mississippi, I've spent some time there and I looked at some video that somebody sent me and it was big trucks where it's all the way up, halfway up past the door, and they're driving along, and they're kind of eking it out. Or you go to the mailbox, and it's almost covering the mailbox in Slidell, Louisiana, on Saturday. So the National Hurricane Center declared Claudette as a storm. It qualified as a named storm, and it had come ashore over the weekend southwest of New Orleans, and all those people in like Slidell certainly felt it because you saw the water really, really, really rise, and some of it sadly also eked into houses and into, you know, into garages in some cases. And now that Claudette is headed to the East Coast and is hanging around in North Carolina, South Carolina, parts of that coastal area, Duck, etc. So rough surf, lots of wind, 40 to 60 miles an hour. So she really did leave some damage. There's no question about that. This is a big story, the Olympics coming up and what's going to happen at the Olympics with all these athletes from all these corners of the world descending on Japan and so many people in Tokyo not happy with it because they don't have a big vaccinated population. In fact, their population, it's like barely 6% vaccinated. In the U.S., for example, you know, we have 177.1 million vaccinated, 45% fully vaccinated, 53% with at least one dose. And when you look around, it seems like in wide swaths of the United States, people are feeling pretty good and the pandemic seems to be receding. But here you've got what's going to happen in Tokyo, and you have a Ugandan Olympian who tested positive for the virus over the weekend. And it's the first detection because athletes are headed that way. You know, you got 5 weeks of competition when you have cases that are surging in Japan and in some other countries where athletes are coming from. Japan requires a 2-week quarantine for international travelers. They're waiving the rule for many Olympic athletes and support staffers. So what happened was, they came into the Uganda team, one member of the Uganda team, they came in on Saturday and they were denied entry into Japan and sent to a government-run facility. And they have to stay there. The team's other 8 members are continued as planned to the host town of Osaka, but the one was held back. Critics think it's too risky to bring thousands of people from all over the world together with the new waves of infections in these countries with low vax rates. But the International Olympic Committee, the Japanese government and organizers, they say the games roll on. And I was looking at one of our biggest athletes in the United States, Simone Biles, who is just amazing and has a chance to make even yet more history at the age of 23, which is like an old lady when it comes to gymnastics. And she's fantastic. She's an American treasure. She has a combined total of 30 Olympic and World Championship medals. She's the most decorated American gymnast, 30 medals. The world's third most decorated gymnast. And she has a chance to shatter all kinds of records. First, you get through the trials, and then you move on with that. And she's attempting something pretty incredible. And for her and other athletes, when the games went down in 2020, it was really tough and it altered their schedules. She even thought at one point of possibly ending her career there, but luckily for us, she continues on, as do we.
If you feel America is facing more dangers than ever, you're right. Things are falling apart, it seems, every day. That's why you need to prepare for more of the unexpected, especially food shortages. When people panic, grocery stores run out of food fast. Would you survive without food for days, weeks, even months? The smart folks are buying emergency food now. Take a moment to shop MyPatriotSupply.com. We're America's leader in preparedness. With over a dozen years' experience, My Patriot Supply has earned over 40,000 four-star and five-star reviews. Our delicious, calorie-rich food averages 2,000 calories per day and lasts in storage up to 25 years, so it's there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com, order a kit or two, and we'll ship quickly and discreetly to your door. Don't wait for something bad to happen again. Rather, be more self-reliant and prepared. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Yes, the pandemic is coming to an end. Restrictions are coming to an end. But body aches and pains never seem to end. That's why you need to click sunny-bay.com for the best sleep you can get. Sunny Bay's legendary products can help, like our lavender stress-reducing products, locally sourced and handmade in the USA. Or try Sunny Bay's award-winning pillows for traveling or extra neck support while sleeping. No need for pills or expensive chiropractic visits. Our neck support pillows are that good. Sunny Bay is a homegrown, small business, but our products are designed and rigorously tested based on your demand and feedback. And they make great gifts for mom, dad, or anyone. Find Sunny Bay products on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, or at sunny-bay.com. And right now, get free heat patches and a belt with any purchase. So remember, Sunny Bay heating pads, neck pillows, and stress-relieving hot or cold wraps. As restrictions come to an end and you get back to work, do it the healthy way with Sunny Bay.
Hi, this is Kate Delaney, and I have a confession to make. I'm addicted to journaling. So many of the ideas I get from my radio show or books hit me at weird times, and I need to write them down. Does that happen to you? So I decided to create my own journal with my pal Jackie. Looking for a great gift for your wife, sister, mother, aunt, friend, or boss to end 2020 or kick off 2021? My girlfriend's gratitude journal includes inspirational quotes and loads of room to write, and it just dropped. Here's the best part. You'll also get a copy of my Forbes book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Increase your odds, win big, and become extraordinary. It's loaded with ways to chart your own life and filled with the success habits with some of the biggest names on the planet, stuff they shared with me that can help catapult you. Here's the best part. For both hardcover books, it's just $29.99. Yep, go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer. Again, all of it for just $29.99. I got the shipping covered. What are you waiting for? Just go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer today.
And we're not giving you the usual man cave fare because it's really a sad man cave for me. You know, I was really torn in a way about the game seven between Philadelphia and the Atlanta Hawks. I was torn because I like Atlanta and I like Hotland. I do. I have spoken there many times. Before the pandemic, you know, we were all over Georgia, taking the show all over Georgia. But I'm from Philadelphia. I grew up in 76ers territory. And they did not perform. Boy, oh boy, there's going to be a lot of questions about what happens moving forward with a couple of their players, like Ben Simmons. What's going to happen with Ben Simmons, who couldn't hit the side of a barn when he had to? And especially avoiding having to go to the line. He just never had to go to the line and was, I think, fearful of what would happen at the line. It was a mental game. He even said that at one point after one of the games, like five or six. But anyway, congratulations to the Hawks because it's pretty incredible. Huge win for them, 103-96. Not incredible because they didn't deserve to be there. They did. But they're the underdog team that people weren't paying attention to. The 76ers were the number one seed out of the East. So, this is David and Goliath, and boy, did they slay in a very close, exciting game. So it was a very good finish to the game. And it was an exciting game to watch. And Trae Young, who was not hot in the beginning of this game, came through at the tail end when they needed him to. And he came through in the series, and he was one of the big reasons why they did so well, along with a cast of other young players who were you know, amazing when they had to be amazing, and that made the big difference. There's always somebody who steps up, and when somebody steps up big, especially when you're talking about, you know, you're talking about this is it, we're either going to go further in the playoffs or this is the end of our season after everything that we have put into it. That's it. It's all on the line. That's what sports is about to me, is the athlete that comes through, that perseveres, that crushes it when you need them to step up huge and do that, when you need them to be, when you need them to be there. And, you know, that's exactly what happened in this final game seven. Kevin Huerta, who was, he's like 20, I want to say he's like 22 years old, and he scored 27 points. He was a huge, huge factor in the game. Huge factor. And like I said, for the 76ers, there's a lot of conversation about Ben Simmons and what does he need to do, and he didn't step up when they needed him to step up, and that's what happens. It's that second-guessing handicapping afterwards. It doesn't matter. They lost the Game 7, so it's the off-season now, and congratulations again for the Hawks because they're the underdog team, and that's why I said I have mixed emotions because I always like the underdog team. All right, speaking of the NBA, I know a lot of people are listening to us in the great state of Arizona. You should be proud. Even if you're not a hoop fan, pay attention to your Suns. 120-114, that was the final score of that first game. Devin Booker is amazing. He may be the best player in all of the playoffs. The Phoenix scoring machine, 40 points, 13 boards, and 11 assists. And this was pretty at the tail end of the game. And the Clippers don't have Kawhi Leonard. I don't see how they win a series against the Suns without Kawhi Leonard. But game one, they took it, so they roll forward to that second game on Tuesday night. It tips at 9 o'clock Eastern, 9 o'clock Eastern, because it's in Phoenix. So 9 o'clock Eastern, and it's at Phoenix Suns Arena. Should be a good one. I think it's going to be another close, close game. All right. Other interesting odds and ends from over the weekend, and that includes the world of golf. So how about this? You know what they say about karma. John Rahm, who had to withdraw from the Memorial when he had a big lead heading into the final day, couldn't have had a better finish for the U.S. Open. So 15 days after he walked away from a big paycheck because he tested positive for COVID-19, here he is holding the U.S. Open trophy, winning his first major championship. So you heard me. First major championship. So good for him. He wins by a stroke, picks up a check for $2.3 million, and it was a wild roller coaster-ish kind of ride. But could he have gotten a better Father's Day gift than that? So here he was at San Diego, Torrey Pines, and he made a 50-foot eagle putt. Let me say that again. 50-foot eagle putt on the final hole to clinch his first PGA Tour win. So the first biggie, the first major. Huge. And it's Father's Day, and he's a 10-week-old son. And there he was with his 10-week-old son. And his father came in from Spain, and he wins this first career major in front of them, and he returns to number one in the world. Pretty big, because again, it was shocking what happened at the Memorial. He would have stepped onto the green, he would have had the lead, but it knocked him out of the tournament, and it cut into also his preparations for the U.S. Open. So he gave everybody a fairy tale ending, because I think it's a fairy tale ending. I like that story. All right, in the man cave, we would talk about this as well, because here we are getting deeper into summer, which means training camps. And the Green Bay Packers still have to, I guess, figure out whether or not Aaron Rodgers is going to be there. So is it Aaron Rodgers? Is it Jordan Love? Who is it? Matt LaFleur gets these questions every single day. He finally just said out of frustration that, you know, look, we're going to have one plan. We've kind of pretty much laid that out. Just going to kind of fine-tune some things over the next few weeks, logistics, schedules, all that. But we don't know. They don't know if Rodgers is going to end his holdout, return to the team after an off season in which he stayed away from all team activities. And Rodgers hasn't denied any of the reports starting back in April that he is so disenfranchised with the Packers, he doesn't want to play for them anymore. And his only public comments pretty much show that he's not happy with management. That's what I think it, you know, that's what it comes, boils down to. But when you're not happy with management and you're engaged and life is good, then you're thinking, I don't know, should I play somewhere else? What do you think? I think it feels like he could come back to the Packers, but at the last minute, but who knows? I mean, maybe the pull is so great that he feels like he just doesn't want to be there because of the way he was treated by management. But everybody else in the organization he's good with. So that kind of makes me think that he would go back. You know, that he may keep missing, but then he's going to show up. And he shows up for training camp, which that would, it would have to be training camp, right? I would think. All right, nothing like a triple play. To me, that's one of the most exciting things in baseball. We're hanging out in our Lazy Boys and we're talking about, hey, did you see that play? Triple plays, when they happen to me, is cool. New York turned its record-tying third triple play of the season to strand the go-ahead run in the ninth inning, bailing out their closer, Chapman, from a kind of rough outing and closing down a 2-1 win over the Oakland A's. Gary Sanchez spoiled a gem of a game with a go-ahead 2-run double in the sixth inning, and so on and so forth, but it was that triple play. I think that is so cool to see that once you see that ball whiz around, you know, 1-3-6-2-5-6, if you know how to score, you know exactly what I'm talking about, triple play. Pretty cool to see those things. All right, coming up next, we're taking you to Japan. See, Bruzo joins us. And she's written a really cool book called Standing Naked in Front of You. Interesting, interesting woman. And she's got a great story to share with all of you. So hang around.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNloans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNloans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNloans.com. That's GCNloans.com.
Join me, George Norrie, for Contact in the Desert Worldwide Virtual UFO Conference, June 25th to the 28th. Contact in the Desert will be an epic weekend of exploration into UFOs, ancient alien civilizations, consciousness, AI, crop circles, and cutting-edge science. More than 130 presentations, 67 speakers, and 2 extra weeks to view our extraordinary lineup. Get your tickets today at contactinthedesert.com. It's time to make contact. Contactinthedesert.com.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News with Dan Naraki.
Tropical depression Claudette has moved into the Carolinas after dropping heavy rains in Alabama, Louisiana, and Mississippi. Forecasters say the storm has already strengthened a little and is expected to re-strengthen to tropical storm levels before it moves into the Atlantic. Tropical storm warnings are in effect for parts of North Carolina, including Pamlico and Albemarle Sounds. Tropical storm watches extend into South Carolina. Claudette is expected to move offshore by Monday night and head northeast, passing to the south of Nova Scotia by Tuesday night. And negotiations continue between lawmakers over a nearly trillion-dollar proposed infrastructure package from a bipartisan group of senators. One member of that group, Senator Rob Portman, believes there is a desire for a bipartisan deal on infrastructure spending. The Ohio Republican tells NBC's Meet the Press that he's already spoken with many colleagues who are ready to support it.
I think we're absolutely committed to it, and I think there's a number of others as well on both sides of the aisle.
This is USA Radio News. A man accused of murdering three people in Oregon has been arrested in Wisconsin. Jeremy Scott reports.
Owen Nicholson turned himself into police in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, more than 2,000 miles away from where the crime spree in Coos County, Oregon, occurred. Nicholson was wanted for the death of his father, whose body was found at an RV park in North Bend. He's suspected of hitting and killing a man in his 70s at the campground and critically injuring the victim's wife, and then shooting and killing a woman at a marijuana dispensary. Nicholson is believed to have abandoned his father's truck after crashing it in Oregon and making it over 2,000 miles to Wisconsin. He's facing several charges, including first-degree murder and second-degree attempted murder. He's expected in court in Milwaukee this week before returning to Oregon to face charges. From the USA Radio News Oregon Bureau, I'm Jeremy Scott.
And after a preliminary investigation, authorities are calling a deadly crash at a Florida Pride Parade an accident. On Saturday evening, a truck about to join the Wilton Manors Parade quickly accelerated, hitting at least two people, killing one, and severely injuring another. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutraMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Fascinating, and this book is a tremendous resource. It's tremendously interesting, and I would put it for 2021 so far for me on my top 5 list. Seriously, that's how I feel about this. The Global Pharmaceutical Industry, Economic Structure, Government Regulation, and History. Dr. Hank Lasky is the author. He joins us now. Hank, thanks so much for coming on.
Okay, Kate, I'm happy to be here. I'm flattered by the words you just said about my book, but in my soul, I know it's true, so.
Yeah, and what happened is I went back and I made sure I poured over a few things after we had our off-air conversation, and
okay.
I want to take people down the path of how did you get here, because you worked in the industry in a different way, but for a long time. So tell everyone a little bit about your background.
Well, I was the MBA director for pharmaceutical and chemical studies at Fairleigh Dickinson University in Teaneck, New Jersey, for the last several years of my career in academia. And one thing I noticed, I got a lot of MDs, that is medical doctors, in my classes who wanted to get an MBA to enter or excel within the pharmaceutical industry. Many of them just wanted to get out of private practice. And there was no book available to teach these men and women who were so idealistic about medicine and the human body and disease, to teach them about profit and economics. The first time I'd ever mentioned profit, they looked at me and treated me thereafter like the devil reincarnate. And that lasted about 3 or 4 weeks, of sort of an antagonism between me and these physicians who were my students. So that was strong motivation for me to write the book and try to talk to those people with that mindset, as well as other people who would do the scientific research in the pharmaceutical industry and still others who would do the marketing of the drugs worldwide.
Yeah, and it's interesting in talking about those doctors, something that you said stuck out of my mind where you say nerds live in labs around the world.
Well, there was a long period of my life when I was a nerd. I use that term very lovingly. These are wonderful people who are at the very base of pharmaceutical everything. The entire industry is built upon these nerds who do this exacting work in enormous detail and precision. You know, I love them. The nerds are good people. They're part of the industry.
I agree with you. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, good. I address a lot of science in the book. I have molecular structures of drugs and their chemical precursor molecules. I discuss how to extract coal tar, how to extract methanol from wood, as well as from petroleum, the hydrocarbons of life, so to speak, that we use to synthesize medicines, as well as natural products and nutraceuticals, et cetera. So I try to cover a pretty wide swath, and indeed, I think I cover the entire industry worldwide. I think I did that.
Yeah, and as you say, I mean, you get down where you're telling us about very specific things that are so interesting, the science, medicine, the technology, the regulation. What's the regulatory framework like?
Well, that's very fascinating to me at the moment. I do discuss throughout the book the social and political upheavals that took place in France in particular, but across Europe two centuries ago, where socialism really flowered. And I see, you know, the cynicism today of so many Republicans thinking the same is happening in our government. So talking about regulation of the pharmaceutical industry, so crucial to human health. You know, governments have always been very interested in this subject matter and regulation in order to keep prices low and provide a good quality of care for their citizens. And you've had both conservative and liberal governments make promises along those lines to win public favor. So when these laws have been passed, particularly in the United States, but elsewhere, they've copied our Food and Drug Administration largely. When these laws are passed, they usually are very specific. And they get down to the nitty-gritty where you need a bunch of nerds to comprehend what they're talking about. You know, but once you understand it, it's pretty straightforward. You just build a manufacturing plant and crank the stuff out all day and all night.
Yeah.
And that's how the industry runs.
Yeah. And when you look at the industry now, it's like a love-hate kind of deal with, I'll just say, the public, or you mentioned it, politicians, depending on interests, et cetera. And it is funny, right? It is funny.
Yeah, it is.
And so you look at that and you see the good side, which you've seen that has helped people get well, that's developed drugs quickly. I mean, look at what's happening in the world today. What is the biggest misconception?
Absolutely.
Yeah, what's the biggest misconception, do you think, that people have about the pharmaceutical industry?
The enormous amount of money that it takes to develop drugs. Pfizer developed its drug for coronavirus in record time. Certainly, you know, the CEO of Pfizer was talking to Donald Trump on a regular basis. They were forced politically to crank it out. And they did. They did. And it cost a bundle of money, you know, and that's the thing. It requires so much investment. And this is dollars and cents that people work for every day, earn a salary, pay their mortgages, et cetera. They're seeing hundreds of billions of dollars going into the pharmaceutical industry for research and development and marketing, and they just don't get it. They don't understand that it costs that much to do what the industry does. And even the nerds, think about the nerds for a minute. Here you have very highly trained men and women out of school, and they're looking for a nice environment with which to live, possibly get married, raise their children, good schools, good social, the theater district and cafes and restaurants. And to develop that kind of a society, that will keep these people happy for 25 or 35 years of their lives is a tall task, and it's an expensive task. You have to pay these people a lot of money. And so your listeners of the show tonight, they can enter the industry. If they read my book, they'll know it all. And they can make a lot of money and raise families and enjoy the American way of life and help mankind as we journey into the unknown.
Boy, isn't that the truth, the unknown. We're speaking with Hank Lasky, and the book is The Global Pharmaceutical Industry, Economic Structure, Government Regulation, and History. And one of the things you told me is, and I think this is absolutely true by what we've said here, only the best of the best will move up in pharmaceuticals. That's true, right?
Certainly in the leadership capabilities, yeah. But you have, pharmaceutical companies have learned the techniques of human resource management and how to group people working inside the industry or a particular company by different skill sets. So you're working with people that pretty much like what you like and know what you know, and you know, you can roll up your sleeves together and get a job done. Yeah, and you can feel the enormous satisfaction of doing that. You know, working with your peers, people who are just as smart as you are and think like you think, you know, and the companies know how to manage that. They're so good at it. They use the best consultants in the world come in and do seminars and things for them to promote this kind of human resource management. And when you retire from the industry, think about that. They actually have programs to teach you about entrepreneurship that the company pays for when you retire so that you can continue in the industry in a consulting capacity. I mean, the industry takes care of its own. And it's not so much the best of the best will succeed. It's just the dedicated people who really love this stuff, you know. Human life and anatomy and physiology and zoology and cellular biology and chemistry and biochemistry and physics. I mean, if you like that stuff, then you're going to need to read my sections on economics. If you are an economist, you're going to need to read my sections on chemistry, et cetera. And in the middle, if you can perceive what I'm talking about, you'll learn a lot. I guarantee you that. I've taught this stuff for many years. I saw the reactions in the students. I fielded their questions. I mean, this was in person as well as televised class instructor. And they're smart. They're good. And they, if I made a mistake, they would nail me, man, to the wall or the blackboard. You know? So I had to get it right.
You got it right. You didn't make a mistake. So the book is fantastic. The Global Pharmaceutical Industry, Economic Structure, Government Regulation, and History. Hank Lasky, you're tremendous. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you very much, Kate. I so enjoy talking to you because you're smart yourself. You've done this yourself. You've written books yourself. You've been awarded high awards in journalism. And I think your audience will benefit from my book. And it doesn't cost much. You can get it for $35 on Amazon.
That's right, even less on some days, yeah.
Yeah, I'm not in it to make money. I'm in it for a totally different reason that only a few people will understand. I want to help mankind make it into the future.
I love it. Hank, thanks so much.
You're welcome, Kate.
DrinkSuperTea.com. Powdy Arco Tea helps regenerate new cells, everything from the cells in our skin to the cells in our organs, so they function properly. Great for healthy people and can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a disease. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.
As the coronavirus crisis continues, I've said it before, I'll say it again. Now's not the time to retreat, panic, or stress out. Instead, refocus, reimagine, and reinvent. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, the whole focus is on overcoming adversity. I share the secrets of some of the most accomplished people on the planet and how it applies to you. I agree with George Eliot, who famously said, "It's never too late to be who you might have been." Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Hey everybody, if you've ever thought about heirloom beans as a storable survival food, I've got great news. In fact, I'll bet it's the best news you've heard in a while. Here's the thing. We've just received a fresh batch of gourmet heirloom beans, survival soup beans. These beans are gorgeous, highly nutritious, and above all, with no hesitation whatsoever, the best tasting beans in the entire world. The best part? We've dropped the price by 33% this week for listeners who know higher food prices are coming and want an inflation hedge you can actually eat if you want to. Gets even better. With your permission and with the high regard for your health and well-being, I also want to send you 2 pounds of what we think is the single most underrated superfood in the world, period. Go to soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com, and discover the real reason we're giving this unusual superfood away at soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Excited to take you to Hokkaido, Japan, a place that's so beautiful, I am told, that I cannot wait to look up more details about it. And I think you, the listeners, are going to love our next guest. What a terrific personality she has. We had a brief conversation off the air, and C. Bruzzo has written a book called Standing Naked in Front of You that really packs a punch and is a game changer. C., thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you.
So tell us what led you to writing the book.
So I was having cancer and fibromyalgia, and I started to take notes about my journey, my thoughts, the pain, what was going on, the insights I had. And it was just a way for me to process. It was just for me. And then when I started to recover, I also started to share a little bit what I had wrote to friends. And they all told me how inspiring it was, how it was helpful. That's how I decided to put the notes together and to make them into a book and publish the book.
So for you, the fibromyalgia you've dealt with for a long time, and what was that like? And then when you got the cancer diagnosis?
So it started with cancer, and I was not that surprised because I always had some issues with my stomach since I was born. So I always had pain. So it was not a big deal. I thought, oh, well, it's not surprising. Somehow something in me said, well, it's the next step. But it didn't mean it was easy after to deal with it, but the news was not so surprising. And fibromyalgia was very different because it's something you can't explain and the pain keeps moving and coming back. And yeah, fibromyalgia is more of a mystery, so it's not so easy.
And what is interesting, and in your book it is filled with a lot of funny, just funny things that happen and stories that you tell. And was that the idea, standing naked in front of you, by the way, you can get on Amazon. Was that the idea when you wrote it, that you were just being human and you were talking openly about things to know when you look at your body?
Yeah, that's what's the title. I'm totally naked about in front of myself and in front of the reader. I don't try to be very spiritual and deep, and I am sometimes, but I'm also silly and playful, and I go back to my old fears, and yeah, I'm just a human being.
Was it fun for you to write this in the sense that was it kind of like, I don't know, did it kind of lift maybe a little bit of a weight off your shoulders, although I don't know that you had a weight on your shoulders just in the brief time that we've spoken. You're so, there's such energy around you. I can feel the energy. And for people listening, we're talking through Zoom, and I've talked to a lot of people in my life, and I can tell immediately when they have that, and you have that, like that lightness. I mean, that's a gift. Did that help you, and did you feel like, wow, I want to give this back to the world by writing this book?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I think what an important aspect is I decided from the very beginning that I was not a victim, that I would not get into the game of victimhood. Oh, poor little me, I have a cancer, I have fibromyalgia, it's all bad. No. It was like, I am responsible. I am not a victim. So it changes a lot about how I was dealing with the pain and how I was dealing with my life and who I am. Also, I think I decided that I would not fight cancer, for example, but love cancer, because cancer is part of me, was part of me. It's just my body. So if I fight against it, it means I fight against myself. And how can I heal if I fight against myself? I have to love myself.
Yeah, so, by having that attitude, that made the difference, do you think, for you?
A big, big, big difference. A big difference. And, yeah, definitely. Especially not being a victim. And it's hard because when you're in pain, you want someone, you know, to take your hand and say, poor little you. But no, I had to stand and say, no, I'm responsible. I'm not a victim. And it really is such a big difference.
So tell us, because we don't give away everything, then we know what the book's about, but give us a little quick story from the book. Tell us one of the stories in the book.
Oh, there's so many. I think a big aspect maybe is how I talk to my body, like just like I talk to you. Just like a friend. So I say, well, buddy, hello, bones, what's going on? What do you want to tell me? I'm listening. Or sales, here you are. Are you bouncing around? Yeah, it's really having a true relationship with the body that I think most people don't have.
Boy, I agree with that. I think that's why the title is so perfect, Standing Naked in Front of You, that most people don't have that.
Yeah.
That they don't feel comfortable. They just, it's just, or maybe take it for granted.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's taking for granted. And I was the same. And I think I took care of my body, you know, giving clothes. But did I really care about my body? No. It was just there.
Yeah. And that's been one of the big differences for you.
Yeah. It's, when there's the pain, it's like, okay, the body's really talking to me now, very loudly. So maybe I have to listen.
So when people read Standing Naked in Front of You, what can they, what do you hope, I guess, that they take away from reading your book?
I hope they will slow down and pause, take some time to reflect about themselves. Because I talk about me and what I went through, but I think this story is kind of universal. It's beyond me. So I really hope that they can reflect on their own life and the relationship they have with their body, and maybe to start one, and to go back to what is essential, because that was also a big thing for me, what really matters in my life, what's so essential for me, and just live life from that. And that is transformative, I think.
Oh, I do think that's transformative. To what is essential for you, and for everybody it may be a little bit different, but we've certainly seen that happen now more than ever for a lot of people. And your choices of living where you live, tell us, you know, more about where you live. I think that's interesting, is you're somebody who is well traveled, and how did you end up where you ended up in Japan?
Yeah, I live in Hokkaido, the most northern part of Japan. It's a big island with lots of nature. And when I was sick, I promised my body that I would live in nature. I was living in Singapore at the time, and before I lived in many, many huge cities. So I promised my body I would live in a country with four seasons and in the middle of nature so that we could heal and take rest. And I wanted to stay in Asia. So I think basically it's so simple. I think just Hokkaido called me. Hokkaido chose me, and I just answered the call.
Wow. And I love that, you know, the four seasons, the chance to breathe, because there is a faster pace in a city. It's not that it's completely negative, but it's a very different pace for most people that live in a big city versus being in the middle of nature.
Yeah, I think living in a city, it makes life so complicated in a way. So complex and so many stimulations, but in nature, especially in nature, in those like villages, there's the pace is slower and the life is a lot more simple. And I think this is one of the truths. Life is very simple. The essence is very simple. So go back to this simplicity.
Yeah, that's a perfect place to end this. Go back to the simplicity. The name of the book again, Standing Naked in Front of You, C. Bruzzo. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you very much.
As the coronavirus crisis continues, I've said it before, I'll say it again, now's not the time to retreat, panic, or stress out. Instead, refocus, reimagine, and reinvent. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, the whole focus is on overcoming adversity. I share the secrets of some of the most accomplished people on the planet and how it applies to you. I agree with George Eliot, who famously said, it's never too late to be who you might have been. Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com.
DrinkSuperTea.com. Powdy Arco Tea builds red corpuscles in our blood, which carries oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate. Our immune system needs oxygen to develop. And cancer dies in oxygen. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.